Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We evaluate special occasions in terms of emotions. We expect to feel good on birthdays and anniversaries, and so we surround ourselves with people and with things that would make us feel good. And we want the church to function in the same way. Easter is the most holy day. And so we expect it to have some kind of emotional gratification. Inspiring sermon. Uplifting liturgy. Music that moves us to joy and gladness. The sights, the sounds, the smells, which sadly are not the smells of a risen Lord who has been wrapped for 3 days in 75 pounds of incense, but rather the smell of church coffee, flowers, cooked ham, and egg casseroles. It should feel like Easter, we say, whatever that means. So we look for emotional highs in these externals and assume if we have some kind of spiritual thrill, then we have rightly celebrated Easter. But what strikes one person as inspiring may strike another as downright boring. Besides, when did you become the heart, the focus, and the center of Easter? We don't make Easter most holy by additional ceremonies, music, liturgies, or sermons. These things simply aim to confess clearly the reality of this most holy day. But Christ has made this most holy night holy by breaking the bonds of death and victoriously arising from the grave. It is he and he alone who has redeemed us with his holy and precious blood. For a resurrection without atonement would be of no avail to us. An atonement without a resurrection would leave us hopeless. So we have not gathered here this night to feel good about ourselves, but we have gathered to receive our resurrected Lord, who comes bringing gifts of life eternal. My job as pastor is not to make the story come alive for you so that you can feel like you were there. You weren't there, and neither was I. Neither is it to inspire or motivate you or to lift you up. My sole job is to reveal to you the mystery that is Christ. The mystery is this, that he who has died now lives. Dictionaries define death as the irreversible cessation of the body's major systems. And so resurrection would be the resumption of the body's major systems. Certainly impossible for man, but not for God. Death holds sway over all men because all have sinned. But when Christ died for us and paid for our sins, he ended death and brought life and immortality to the world. Easter is the declaration of that victory. It proves that he has accomplished what he said he would, that he is God, he has forgiven sin, he has removed the curse and death and brought life eternal. So Easter is not just about the mystery of Christ risen, but Easter is about the mystery of Christ risen for you. And you being raised with him through holy baptism. Not just a future resurrection, but the resurrection that has already taken place in the waters of holy baptism. Baptism is inseparably united to Easter. You should not think about the one without thinking about the other. Far more than lilies, eggs, or bunnies, baptism should be the first thing that comes to our minds. For you were dead, but not anymore. And had Christ risen from his grave and had left you and yours, what would the point be? You must be raised with Christ, and you are. You are changed, then, whether you feel like it or not. You were dead, but now you are alive. You are enlivened, renewed, brought back to the newness of life that is yours in Christ, not in some metaphorical way, but in actuality. You live. And so our risen Lord enters this time and this space yet again on this most holy night to give you the blessings of that life yet again, to drive out all sin from you and every form of evil, so that you might be his new creation, even as he is risen as a new creation. So we are delivered from the worldly vice and the darkness of sin. Satan and every unclean spirit has been banished from us yet again. No power of the enemy can remain with us, ensnare us, corrupt us, or lead us astray. For we, the baptized, are free from the devil. We, the baptized, are recreated in the image and likeness of God. We are holy and righteous. We are immortal, imperishable creatures. We cannot die, but we must live here and forever in heaven. We, the baptized, are united to our risen Lord, and so we are made resurrected creatures through this holy bath of perfect cleansing. We shall not die, but we shall live and will declare the wonders, the mighty works of the Lord. Christ has died for us. Christ is risen for us. And now Christ comes to dwell in us, so that his risen body might cling to ours and his life-giving blood might course through our veins. None of this is sensed. None of this can be felt, studied, dissected, or seen. It is not intellectual, and neither is it emotional. It is and remains a mystery as to how this can be. And yet we believe it and confess it. And by God's grace, sometimes, just sometimes, the Holy Spirit does give us an emotional response. Do not squash such feelings. It is a gift from the Holy Spirit. But at other times, there may be nothing to feel. So what? Our feelings don't change the reality. Christ still lives, and you are still washed in him. So what if we don't feel inspired tonight? Christ is still our Savior. So what if the music is not what we hoped it would be? Christ is still risen and death is still destroyed. So what if there's no emotional gratification? Faith still clings to Easter, for he is our risen Lord, and in him we have life eternal. We firmly believe and confess that God entered the world to die and to rise for us, so that he might come to us on this most holy night to consecrate our bodies, to sanctify us, and to make us alive forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.